This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Bernard, you know what hit me when you were talking about that? You can continue afterwards.
Please.
Are some strange things that happened to me in terms of coincidences and everything. 1988, September 9th, it's my birthday. At 4 p.m., I get a phone call from my oldest nephew, Jeffrey. My dad died that day on my birthday. But the night before, he called me. And normally we talk on the phone for like a minute. We'll see you this weekend, have dinner, whatever. This time he spends like 5-10 minutes talking to me. This is the longest conversation I've had with him, just the two of us alone, in years. He wants to know I'm okay. He wants to be reassured that I'm okay. And then, of course, what, less than 24 hours later, he dies on my birthday. What do I make from that?
You first make from that when I do these podcasts and talk to people outside of them too, but especially during these podcasts, coincidences take place. Coincidences of all kinds. My father died at 2 a.m. on February 27th, which is my birthday. So what do we make out of the two coincidences? I call this a meta coincidence that we're talking about, where I told one story about a coincidence and you tell me another one, and now we're talking about the pair of the coincidences together. What did it mean to you, Gene, that he died on your birthday?
It's something that I only half considered at the time. It was like, what a day to die. Why my birthday? What a downer. But then again, the conversation I had with my dad the night before.
Yeah.
Was really, really strange, unusual. The feeling is he knew.
He knew.
His time was short.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something where he had a serious illness. He had some heart problems. He was somewhat overweight, and that overweight condition, I think, didn't help him. He was just shy of his 79th birthday. He was playing cards with friends at a senior citizen center. He was independent. He was living at an apartment with his second wife. And suddenly he just has a heart attack and dies. I mean, if you're going to go quickly, that's pretty quick.
It is.
So in that sense, I thought, you know, this was a life well lived. In 1988, he lived to a ripe old age, although I'm not that much younger than he was then. So I thought, really, that I wasn't super sad of his passing because of the fact that he was healthy and happy until the end. What more can you say? Now compare that to another case I'll tell you about. My brother-in-law, Stephen. Now, Stephen and I have had some uncertain relationships because I want to get into the issue deeply. He was my brother-in-law. There were some money issues that he caused. We won't go into those. A lot of people online know what's going on. They've made a horror show of it. But in the meantime, he gets serious cancer, pancreatic cancer. And to a lot of people, that's fatal.
Yep.
Unless you catch it on time, there's a slight chance you'll recover. He wasn't one of those people. The last few months of his life, he had lost a lot of weight. You would not recognize him. He was a skeleton of his former self. He was having delusions, trouble concentrating. He died 5 minutes after midnight, the day after my birthday in 2014. Now, I don't think I was that close with this guy. But of all the days he can pick to die, 5 minutes after my birthday ended?
Was he in the same time zone as you?
Yeah, about 30 miles away.
Let's go back to your father and my father. And this one we can do a little later. But what it meant to me, my father was 64, so he was not the ripe old age of your father. But that wasn't really what got me. I thought that he died to get away from my mother, which doesn't sound pleasant, but she was a difficult woman, and he was committed to being married to her. So that was the way I thought about his death. He got away from her finally. But what it meant to me that he died on my birthday was he was saying to me, remember me. Remember me. And I have, because I've written about this story of his with me in my books, and I tell the story. It's a way of honoring the memory of my father. And it's funny how much you believe in other spirits walking around out there in the psychosphere. Finally, his father, Ludwig, got into my head the other day and said, hey, not just Carl, he was my son, but I had to like get him born too and take him along too. So some pay some attention to me too was what I got from Ludwig. And I didn't ask for this, but it came in. So Ludwig died when I was young, and he was very important when I was like an infant. And Ludwig, for me, was very important, and I was very important for Ludwig because I was the first son of the first son of the first son of the first son. And I have a son, and he's got a son. And in our Jewish heritage, that was an important lineage to be able to do. So my father was asking me, I thought, to remember him. And what happened is, as you know, people in Jewish people often have tombstone unveilings within the year of the death. So I went to tombstone unveiling in Wilmington, Delaware, and on the plane back, assigned seats. We just got assigned seats back then. He didn't pick them on American Airlines. I meet a woman who's Jewish, and we get married, and we have two sons. So I was able to continue the lineage that my father started, and I thought that was a marriage made in heaven because we met up in the sky and my father had something to do with it. Those are the meanings I have for his death.
So up in the sky, it's not a bird, it's not a plane, it's a marriage.
Yes. And let me get back to where we got to, where we're getting to about the shared mind idea, because that I'm so glad you guys bring that up, that we share thoughts together. And the Dennis the Menace is one. So I called this experience with my father and me simulpathity. That is pathos, meaning feeling or pain, and simul being around the same time, simulpathity, feeling the pain of a loved one at a distance. So I thought, oh, I'm such a genius, I came up with this word myself. But I'll look around on the internet and see if anybody else come up with it. In 2014, nobody had. In 2016, there's a simulpathity here thing, and it's the name of a little short movie some guy did. So somehow I contact him on Facebook and I said, have you ever heard of me? Because I've written a little bit about simulpathity, but my book hadn't been out yet, my first one. He said, no, I never heard of you. I said, well, it's very interesting that you came up with simulpathity, because I looked at your video, the little movie you did, and it's just about experiencing the pain of a loved one at a distance. So this guy came up with the idea that I had started earlier and did a little movie about it. And to me, that suggests somehow we are feeding off of each other's minds. And there's plenty of other stories like that.
Well, I can give you other stories about strange things. I've been married twice. Still friendly with the first wife. She's actually been on the Paracast. We used to edit a paranormal magazine together. So I still
hear from
her.
Good for both of you. Good for Mazel Tov. Good for both of you.
Thank you. She wasn't Jewish, but we'll forgive her for that.
That's right. Okay for you.
Okay.
And the kids. It's great.
It's one kid that's from the second wife, but we'll go into that later.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. You're forgiven. But seriously speaking, let me give you the story of how I met the woman I married both times. The first time, she was, 13? I was 15 or 16. And I wrote a letter to the editor of a comic book called Forbidden Worlds. I forget. And she sees the letter. And she writes to me, care of the magazine. And the magazine was decent enough to send that letter on to me.
Wow.
It was the early 60s now we're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And we'll talk more about that story with Bernard, Tim, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hey, trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So she becomes a pen pal. She's living in Alabama, near Birmingham. I'm living in Brooklyn, New York. And we communicate for years and years, exchanging our innermost thoughts. I finally met her after I was 18, when I was giving a UFO lecture in Atlanta, flew over, met her parents, who looked at me because I was a New York Jew as some kind of strange creature who during the day must sleep in a coffin. Actually, my late mother-in-law said that some people thought that Jews slept in coffins during the day. We're talking about weird folks. Anyway, so we got married. I was 21, she was 18. The marriage lasted, you know, less than 10 years. But a couple of years before we separated, you know, we had both, of course, tried psychedelics. And she has a mild dose of something that didn't do anything for the rest of us. But she started laughing and giggling as if she had entered, for this period of several hours, a totally different world, a totally different reality, which influenced a lot of her thought and attitudes after that event. So we talk about contact with the universal consciousness. There's something we can talk about. Wife number two. Number two? Wife number two. I joined a dating service in New York. And this is not computerized. This is like 1976. And I get a handwritten list with 10 names and phone numbers on it. She is the last person on the list. She and I have a conversation, and it just went on for like a half hour or so, just going on and on. And then we describe ourselves, and she said, you know, you're kind of maybe too tall for me. You're 6'2". She said 5'1". It's actually a little under 5 feet. And, of course, she wore tall shoes. And I said, well, you know, my brother, his wife is no taller than you, and he's the same size as me, so that height shouldn't make a difference. And so we got together, and then we got together, and we got together, and we got married that year. And we're still around. So that worked out. The point being here, in both cases, kind of strange. First, the comic book and the pen pals. The second, the last entry on that list from a dating service, which I could have ignored.
How did you end up picking that one?
Well, I called all 10 people. I called all 10, but when I got to her, the others, you know, no connection. This one, we made a connection right away.
The background of both stories, with the comic book and with the list, is that both of you were into the comic book for that experience, or the comic book. She didn't read that comic book, but the comic book people, for some reason, decided to send your letter to her.
No, she was a reader of the comic book, too. She wrote to the magazine trying to get a letter to me, and they forwarded it to me.
And were you reading the magazine? You did say you were reading it, I think.
Yes, I was.
The two of you, the fact that the two of you were reading this weird magazine is the basis for the connection between the two of you. You had to each be doing that. And then, you know, sometimes we get these thirds, these people that are, we don't know, who somehow do something really nice for us, kind of save our lives sometimes. The comic book people somehow decided that they would send a letter on. So the two of you were there, but they had to make the connection. You got there on your own individual initiative, and the comic book people put you together. Then you were both, for the second wife, you were both on the same dating service. And that is what got you both together, too, including your thoroughness. So there's a background to each one of them that allows it to happen. That's all I wanted to make clear.
Okay, by the way, the comic book is called Forbidden Worlds. And it won a 1964 Alley Award for Best Regularly Published Fantasy Comic. It published 145 issues between July, August 1951 to August 1967. So that's Forbidden World. So we were both into science fiction, horror films, and UFOs and psychic phenomena.
And now there's a parapsychology dating service.
I've heard of that, yes.
you were doing that in kind of with the help of the comic book. It's fun to have people who think along the same lines as we do.
I do not know the name of the person who forwarded that letter. But look, I made a lifelong friend. What can you say?
You did. And what's the third story? When, how do you look at those two stories, meeting these two women?
Well, I think in both cases, I'm not the kind of person who date a lot. You know, I'm the nerd, the classic nerd. So if I was going to meet the right girl, the right woman, these were the ways it would happen, as pen pals. In fact, most of my best friends on the planet, I met as pen pals. The second was I was trying dating services because I really didn't want to go out to these clubs because I didn't drink. I didn't dance. It was a waste of time. This way I could sit quietly in my own home and find someone that I might make a connection with. So, you know, in each case, there was a reason in terms of my personality why I fell into these environments.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd add that you had a need, and you at least had a need, and you were looking for maybe some connection with the second one and maybe even with the first one. You were driven to look, and that's so important part of helping coincidences happen.
Well, the point being here, you don't just sit back and let it happen. You have be a participant.
Yes.
You have to be a participant.
And my favorite way of saying that is the dog that trots about finds the bone.
Speaking of dogs,
woof.
We talk about coincidence. Our dog, he's a 10.5-year-old Bichon that we got from a rescue center, by the way, and I'll publicize them. Bichon Fur, F-U-R, kids.com or org. You'll have to check that out. They find rescue Bichons and find new families for them. Now, I recommend this place because, you know, this guy has been really great to have around. He anticipates me doing things before I do them, even though I do them at different times. Like you think, well, he anticipates he's going to be fed. But I am thinking about it, and he does not get fed the same time every day. But at the point where I'm thinking about doing it, there he is. So things like that, he knows I'm going to do something. Or I take him out real early in the morning for his early morning walk. And I'll explain that in a moment with Bernard. And Jean and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. There are moments in history that appear as critical to the world as they are terrifying. Just this century alone, the 9/11 attacks in 2001, the U.S. shock and awe war on Saddam Hussein's Iraq 2 years later, the coronavirus pandemic in 2020 killed millions and upended life, and most recently, the February 24th invasion of Ukraine by Russia, bringing ruinous war back to Europe. Florida's coastal city of Venice is in ruins. Since Hurricane Ian hit, Venice's roads are now rivers, many homes are now destroyed, and waterlogged cars and debris have littered the streets. Venice Municipal Mobile Home Park President Sonny Favolaro returned Saturday to find his community in shambles. He tells us he's shocked when people refuse to leave.
People don't heed the warning. I don't know why, but, you know, they're lucky to be alive.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We're being analyzed by Dr. Beitman about our various issues with synchronicity, coincidences, and etc.
And the book is Meaningful Coincidences, How and Why Synchronicity and Serendipity Happen. It just came out September 6th. That's around what we're talking about. And let me mention a parallel story about a dog. They know stuff. They can communicate with us. And that's what your dog was doing with you. Read, you could read you. I was saying goodbye to a friend of mine who was about to get married then in a week or two, and I looked at one of his dogs, and I said, are you going to carry the bridal bouquet to the dog? And my friend says, yes, she is. And it was if I got the idea from looking into the dog's mind. It was more than just thinking it might be logical, because he's got a daughter who could have done that as well. There is communication. I can tell you stories of me running around with bugs, swarms of bugs. Like I don't know if you remember something called Yankee Stadium and Phil Rizzuto. You ever hear that guy? He was an announcer for the Yankees for many years after playing shortstop for them. And I was talking to this guy who was a kid in the Bronx, a suburb of New York City, and the kid and his friend would go to Yankee Stadium because it was just a ball field down the street. And they went in to ask Phil Rizzuto for an autograph, and Phil Rizzuto said, get out of here, kid. He remembers that vividly. The other announcer did sign it. So I'm walking along and these along the river near my house, and a swarm of bugs is kind of like bugging me. They're hanging around my face, and I'm thinking great thoughts. So I say, get out of here. I'm thinking great thoughts to the bugs. And like in some cartoon show, they disappear and don't come back. They heard me.
Well, insects obviously have a way of communicating with one another.
They do.
I am not at all surprised. By the way, I grew up in Brooklyn. And I remember...
So you were so far away from the Bronx, you don't know where it was, probably.
No. I took the subway all the time. I grew up in subways. I rode the subways and the buses. Part of the reason being that my father was employed by the New York Transit System. He, he retired as an executive for planning and scheduling for the surface division, which is the buses. So, yeah, I grew up on the subway, so certainly that's what I did. That's how I traveled. I didn't learn how to drive or need to learn how to drive until I was working at a radio station in the South. Yeah. And I couldn't afford to take a cab every day to work. So finally I woke up one day and said, this is stupid. I will learn how to drive and buy a car. Which may have been the biggest mistake of all, but, you know, I'm still driving. All right, let's talk about the dog. One more dog story. And this one, he sensed me like you wouldn't believe. So on August 1st, I went to a nearby hospital to treat an aneurysm in my right leg. The story behind that's long and everything not worth mentioning, but the surgery is pretty serious. I had 3 blood transfusions during this surgery. So the effects it caused were real serious. During the time I was in the hospital, Teddy Bear, normally a very active, playful dog, hides under the bed. We have a bed with very high frame on legs, and he stays under the bed, and he won't come out, and he won't eat, and he's just really, really down. Again, I'm being treated for this condition. My wife, I always thought, was the main owner of the dog. In other words, he looked up to her faster than me. Me, he was inclined to protest and bark. Her, she says something, he listens. But in this particular case, I'm being treated, he's under the bed. Over the next few weeks, I get home and I'm using what they call a wound vac, which you may know what that is.
Yeah, I do.
Sure. It was connected to my groin. Wore it for 4 weeks. Horrible experience. Yep. Imagine driving with this stupid appliance.
Terrible.
Okay. So during that period, of course, my leg is recovering and he starts limping on one of his legs for a week or two. As I've recovered, and this is the kind of surgery where even now I'm maybe at 80% of my normal level at this particular point in time. As I was recovering, he got better and better. Now he's just about his usual self. But his attitude and his level of health appear to mirror mine. His appetite, his diet. As I was recovering, he recovered. So he lit into me and my attitude, and he followed it in his canine way.
And I've told my son that if you want your dog not to be sick so much, take care of yourself better. So what do you think of that? Can you generalize from what happened with same thing with my son and with you and your dog?
I always thought dogs sense things that we can't.
Yes.
And that's very obvious. Also, I would call this sympathy pains. We took him to the vet twice. The first time I mentioned what was going on, I mentioned the hospitalization. They said, okay, he's fine. Don't worry about it. We had a second opinion. The second opinion, at which point he had almost completely recovered, they said same thing. But the first time he was still kind of semi out of it, the first vet. And when he got into the veterinary office with the technician and the doctor, he was his wacky, playful self in there. He almost put on a show for them. Look, I'm okay. As soon as we got him back home, he reverted to this problem. He understood what was going on really well. And I got more of an impression about his intuitiveness and his intelligence after all this.
And? What are you saying then about how that might relate to what my book is trying to do?
Well, you know, he is in touch with something. He's definitely in touch with something. That's how he's able to do this. And that's true with animals in general. He's in touch with something that we can't sense, but he senses it. You can call it ESP, psychic powers, whatever. He senses something. Maybe he taps into a consciousness. Maybe he reads my mind. I don't know. But animals have these abilities. In fact, one thing I had heard and talked about over the years is the fact that when we're born, we have a lot of capabilities, but our educational system and our parents destroy it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what I'm trying to do is bring to the general public as much as possible the idea of something greater going on around us. I got quite angry at the school system, and I went to good schools. I went to Yale. I was a resident at Stanford. I went to Swarthmore College, where they taught us to be able to think critically. However, they weren't telling us what was going on around here, and I wanted to know the nature of reality. And the experience with my father, I had an experience with my dog where we both got, where I got lost looking for him, and he was lost, and we ran into each other. It was quite accidental. It was serendipity for sure. And I needed that dog. I was 8 or 9. And that and my father's story are the ones that have driven me to say, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there's more going on here than they're telling us. And the psychosphere and our strong interconnections among and between us are part of what I am learning.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if we had a more direct way of communicating with our pets? Especially if they are so closely entwined to our lives. And we see them, oh, okay, walk the dog and feed him and play with him and that's it. But there's a lot more going on, and they sense it and we don't.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be nice if we could sense it too? Number one, we'd be closer to our pets. We'd understand why they feel this way. And imagine that this little creature is so intertwined with your life, cares so much about you that it will react this way. We're going to react in a different way with these announcements. We have Bernard and Jean and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Sam, do you have any animal stories to relate to us?
You know, just listening to this conversation and what you said just before the break, Gene, is that wouldn't it be nice if we had, you know, a better way to communicate with our furry friends? That's what Dr. Bachman's been saying, basically, is that we do because we all share the same thoughts. We just don't realize that probably your dog is thinking along the same way as you are. And I think that, you know, maybe just having a closer, deeper look at how you're thinking will give you a better understanding of what your dog is thinking, and but not just your dog, but everybody else around you.
Yes. Yes, remember the story about my asking the dog if that, and it was a female, were they going to carry the flowers? Are you going to be the flower girl for this? And that dog sent a message to me that I picked up. That dog had sent a message to me. The dogs can only bark and make other noises. They can't speak. We have that ability to speak. And that's quite an advancement evolutionarily. But they have telepathic and nonverbal ways of communicating, as well as variations in their growling and barking and other things, and their movement. They are trying to communicate with our minds as well. That's what that flower girl story has told me. I've been able to communicate with telepathy with trees. Trees have given me good advice about what to do, and it comes in like a thought from someplace outside of me, and I continue to interact with them, and a particular set of trees likes me to sing to them, and they have certain songs that they like me to sing to them. How do I know? Because I get a feeling and a thought from them. And this, Gene, you ask a question, how do we separate our own projections from what's outside of us? And that is a vital question for us to be addressing. And I have had to do that with the trees. And one way I did that was when the trees were talking to me, I said, I really don't believe this. I think I'm making this up myself. I thought this. I didn't say it out loud. You're making this up myself. And they said, well, what do you believe more, that this woman at dance likes you a lot, or you're talking to us? I said, I believe you're talking to me. That was easier to believe than she liked me a lot. That was a comparison they did. And then another time, they blasted me with a thought that said, get that redhead here. And somebody at dance who would look at them as more beautiful objects, because she's an artist and very visual. When I was in the forest with them, I would like get a feeling with them, but then I would think a lot of thoughts, and they got tired of me just using them to think thoughts, so they wanted her to come up there to like look at them and say how beautiful they were. So they said, get that redhead here. And I just walked down the pathway just a little bit, and I run into a pair of fungi that are the same color as her hair right then. And so that was the coincidence that I hear a voice that is like bang inside my skull and then see a fungus that has colors of her hairs. So I say, okay, there's still something going on here. And there's more going on with me in the trees. And there are other people who can experience communication with trees as well. We just have to know that these trees and other plants are contributing to the psychosphere, our mental atmosphere. We are all part of the same mind, but I'd rather not say outside of our atmosphere, because Gene and Tim, it's complicated enough down here, especially when we get UFOs coming into the psychosphere and we're experiencing them. What's going on? And what's with Ludwig, my grandfather, talking to me? How is all that working? That's complicated enough, and that's where I want us to be able to focus in the future on the study of meaningful coincidences.
But I'm wondering here just what a woman would think if you tell her, her hair reminds me of this fungus.
I made up a song that has that in there, and I sung the song to her. It was a beautiful, romantic-y kind of thing. She really wasn't particularly interested in me romantically, but it was a tender, sweet moment when she heard that the color of the fungus was the color of her hair and the inside of the fungus was the color of her mind. That touched her.
Talk with the animals and talk with the fungus. I want to know about talking with trees, though, okay? Because that one, to me, to be blunt, sounds kind of wacky, except if you're watching Lord of the Rings or something with her. How do you talk to a tree? How do you know that you're actually communicating with this thing?
Well, that's the same question you asked right from the beginning, Gene. How do we know it's not my projections, and how do we know it's something out there? That's true of many of the UFO experiences. That's what Jung needed to have some clarification about. So how do you know? Well, we need more science in answering the question. Science is not going to go after the question that I'm talking about, that we're talking about here with trees. They're beginning to look at the sensitivity and sentience, the consciousness of plants. They're beginning to look at them. Plants do some really strange things compared to what we think they're going to do. So science is looking at plants and their interactions, looking at trees and how there is a wood wide web through which trees communicate with each other. It's underneath the ground. It's very similar to our own brain. It's got a lot of little areas and connections and little ways that they communicate with each other. There's fungi down there that help get nutrients from the ground up into the tree, and the fungi get sugar from the trees to help them keep functioning. And so the trees are a massive ecosystem that it's much more unified than it appears when you're just looking at one tree. But how do you know, how do I know when I'm communicating with a tree and a tree is communicating with me? How do I know I'm communicating with anybody? If a tree tells me to connect two people who are dear friends of mine who don't know each other before the end of the month, and I do it, and the two of them really become close friends and one helps the other in ways that I never could have, that's an operational answer to the question. I didn't think of it. I was there to hear it, or at least record it, and I was there to act on it, but it's still felt like somebody talking to me without saying the words out loud. I have to start with myself. And I've been curious about how to answer this question. I cannot convince you of this. You have to have your own experience. Remember, if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him, because you have to have the experience yourself. I'm only telling you that I am one of many people who are able to communicate with trees.
Well, it reminds me of a commune that in the 70s that moved to, I think it was Ireland, and they named themselves, I mean, it was Findhorn, and they moved to this certain location because the leader of this group said that he was communicating with, you know, the nature spirits, the elementals in that area, and they told him to come there and that they would be able to grow fantastic crops as long as they listened to the advice of the elementals and the crops that they were growing. And they were given suggestions on how to fertilize the soil that seemed to be completely different than what should be applied in, you know, normal agricultural reasonings. And they grew fantastic crops. I mean, award-winning crops for a number of years. So, I mean, what you were talking about, you know, communicating with the trees reminds me of that. And that produced results, you know, I mean, proven results.
Thank you for bringing that up. That is a parallel story to what I'm describing. And also a woman in South Africa, I interviewed on my podcast, has had similar experiences and done research on the capacity of humans and plants to interact with each other.
Well, also, it also reminds me, you know, going back briefly to you and Gene's conversations about dogs and pets. I mean, there was Dr. Rupert Sheldrake's books. What was it? Dogs Who Know When Their Masters Are Coming Home.
Yes.
And, I mean, a lot of what Dr. Sheldrake has written about, not only in that book, seems to be fairly similar to your idea of the, oh, I'm not, psychosphere, is that the right word?
We'll have the right words and more with Gene, Bernard, and Tim Urin.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.